Please turn to John chapter 3, verse 30. Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Okay. John 3:30. John the Baptist said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Do you see this container of water? See where the water line? If I wanted to fill this with this stuff, could I get all of this into here? Why not? Okay. Are you willing to get empty of what's inside of you to get more of Jesus? This is a personal choice. You ready? Ready? So how much of Jesus do you want? How close to Jesus in the middle do you want to get? All right, you ready? So God, hang on. I'm gonna read these questions. Who wants more of Jesus in his life? Okay, but I want you to hold your hands up. If you mean it, if you want more of Jesus, this is you answering the question. God's asking the question right now. If you don't want, just close your eyes. You don't have to be embarrassed. If you don't want more of Jesus, you're content where you're at. That's fine. Stay there. If you want more of Jesus, raise your hand. Want more of Jesus and his life. Put your hand down. How do you get that? How do you get more? Do you know? That's right. Reading the Word. How else do you get more of God? Praying. That's right. How else do you get more of God? Huh? Repent. That's right. How else do you get more of God? Worship. Want Him. Fellowship. What? That's right. How else do you get more of Jesus? Any Baptists in here? How else do you get more of Jesus? Ah, there we go. You know, a lady told me this week, one of my customers, she goes, "My name's Hope." I said, "Hope?" She said, "Yeah, you know, Hope, Faith, Charity." And I go, "This is the greatest of these is charity, but we love you, Hope." Okay. That's actually my daughter's name. Hope Janiyah. H.J. Harvey Jackson. Okay. Here we go. That's like one day on the telemarketers. Can I have your name? No, I already gave it to one woman 37 years ago, but I can loan it to you. Okay. Who wants more of Jesus and his life in you? How do you get that? How do you get more of Jesus? Now, we walk in the light we have. Please get this. We walk in the light we have. We can only move in what we understand. So we need to understand more. We need more light. Have you ever been going through life and all of a sudden something just dawns on you and you get it and you go, "I get it." We call that an aha moment. You ever had that happen to you? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a click moment. All of a sudden something turns on. It's like a light turns on in you in an area, right? Well, we want more of God. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. We need more of Jesus. We need more light. And how to walk in leadership, how to walk in fellowship, how to read, how to pray, how to repent. All these things to do them. Because if we just try to do them, okay, I'm going to repent, it doesn't happen. But it's like when God moves on you, can I give you two words that took me 10 months to learn? Choose and cooperate. I choose You, God, and I will cooperate with whatever You want me to do. Whatever You say the next step is, I will do it. Yes?
Yes?
Yes. Okay. We walk in the light we have. God, I want more light. One person does. Okay, I guess it's going to be like a spotlight from heaven right down on her because the rest of y'all didn't want more light. All right, I'll give you another chance, okay? We want more light, God.
Yeah.
All right, good, good. That's right, that's right.
This is right of mine.
Okay, here we go. There may be, okay, watch this. There may be one truth here today for you in the things that are spoken. Jesus, that will change your life forever, your future. One truth. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? The reason I can lay down up here, the reason I can go cha and make all these noises, the reason I can do my arms, the reason I can act like I do, it's because I'm free. I'm free from worrying about what you think. I'm free in this world. I make noises. I act like this in public. I mean, this is public, but I act like this in public out there. I don't care. I have laid down in restaurants, laid down on the... God's touched me, and I have fallen... We walked into a resale shop one time, a group of us. We walk in this resale shop. God touches me, and I fall right on the floor. The owner or manager or whoever was working came over and said, do you need an ambulance? And they said, no, it's God. And he goes, it is? You know? And they walked around in the store doing whatever they were doing, other shopping, and I'm laying on the floor, and I couldn't get up. God wanted me to do that. One time we were coming back from Wisconsin. I went there with a bunch of college-age kids. For some reason, they wanted me to go, and I went with them, and God was in this. He had me go there because he wanted to get loose. And on the way back, one of the cars full of people, we were talking about God, and God was having me share with them because, see, God puts you in my life because I am a plow on the front of a vehicle, okay? And he puts me in your life to plow up things inside of you to take you further, to help you. You don't got to go as far as me. You don't got to be, well, I don't got to be weird like him, but you're a little weird. It's okay. The Bible says you are supposed to be a peculiar people. When you try to be like the world, you're compromising Jesus. Do you hear me? It says if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. It means if you try to do things to please them. And God wants to deliver you from that. Because you were in bondage, worrying about what people think about you. The looks they give. And then all of a sudden, you come into line because they gave you a look. Get over it. I think it's Jeremiah 1:7. It says, don't be afraid of their faces. God wants to set you free. You've already experienced some, but you're going to experience way more if you hang out here. Okay? There may be one truth here today for you, because there may be a truth for you, and then there's a truth for you, and then there's a truth for you. It's because there's all these truths are going to be put out, but the one that you need is going to be put out there, and it's going to jump at you. It's going to jump inside of you. You need to take that truth, and you need to write it down, and you need to keep it in front of you. You need to meditate on it. It's like a, what are those things called? A sucker thing. You put them in your mouth all day. Not a mint. They're bigger than a mint. Jawbreaker. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't mean you become a sucker. What I mean is you're going to take this truth and you're going to suck on it. You're going to, All my little grandkids, they know when I eat, like today when we eat, you'll hear me making this noise. Because I love food. There you are smiling again. Okay. Now watch. There is a truth that God wants to plant inside of you today. If you just get one truth and you meditate on that all week like it was a jawbreaker, and you're like, and you're thinking about that truth. Here's the truth that I share with a lot of people just as I'm walking through life. I say, did you know that God loves you for who you are and not what you do? He loves you for who you are, not what you do. If you ever get a hold of that truth, it'll change your life. But how did I get here from being a drug dealer? Because whatever I do, I'm 150% that. So when I was a drug dealer, what do you think I did? Okay, don't let your imagination go, but I'm trying to say, I did, you know, in the old dictionaries on the word sinner, it said C. Harvey. Do you understand? Like, well, I was the example of what to do wrong. Do you understand? And then I met Jesus. And Jesus, I began walking with him, one truth at a time. One truth at a time. And I lived, thought on that truth, meditated on the truth. I want that truth. God, make that alive in me. And he said, I think I will. Because he's the truth. There's going to be one truth here today, but it's going to happen every time you come. Can I give you a thought? Sunday school starts at 10. Don't miss it. If we're having food, you don't just want to go over there and get the potato chips. You want all the foods that are put out there, right? You want to have your choice to get all of them. Food. Right? Everything is food. Okay, right? What I'm saying is Sunday school starts at 10. Church starts at 11. You miss that, you're missing something that God's wanting to give you. You're missing part of God. It's not that he's mad or disappointed at you. We're not going to give you the look. Do we? We let you come and go anytime you want. That's what I tell you as a leader. You come when you want, you leave when you want. That's not a problem. We're not giving you the look. I used to teach that in the last church when we were out on 92nd. And one day we were doing church and it was time for me to preach. And I got up and my wife and daughter, Janiyah, they got up and they left. About an hour later, they came back. I was still preaching, of course. And the people said, where'd you go? And they said, ice cream. Oh, it was time for him to preach, and you went out and got ice cream? He said we could. He gave us permission, and God told us he wanted us to example that we had the freedom so that you would know you had freedom. And people were like, really? You mean I'm not going to get hit if I leave? I'm not going to have somebody come and rah, 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 because I didn't stay? I'm not going to have somebody give me the look? No. We're not here to try to make you do something. We're not here to put guilt, burden, manipulation, and pressure on you, control and performance. We're here to get you to Jesus. If you want to live out here, and Jesus is here, but you want to live out here, you got Jesus, but you got enough of him, and you're out here, and you're fine, live out here, if that's what you want to do. We're going to talk about that in a minute. For me, I can't do that, because I need Jesus, because Jesus is life. Do you like existing? I'm just asking. Do you like pain? Do you like rejection? Do you like having being friendless? You know, people say they're your friends, and then when you need them, they're not there. An unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Do you like that? Are you needy? How needy are you? Oh, I've got this marriage, but if she would just change. Okay, I'm sorry. She's not going to, unless God does it, and she cooperates with God. Yeah, I know. I forgot I was holding them, though. Okay, so there may be one truth here today for you that will change your life forever. It will change your future. The next question is, do you want to see it? Do you want to get that truth tailored for you? You alone. Julian, Rebecca. Let's say it's two different truths, because what you need, Julian, may not be what you need, Rebecca, right now. Do you understand? Maria, you got it? Reuben? Snicker Fritz? Got it? You know what I'm talking about? Do you want to see the truth that God has for you today? Okay, I'm going to show you in a second. You're going to have to get it from God. Now watch. Here's what we're going to pray. Just listen to it. I'm willing to see what you want me to see. I'm willing to lay down what I think I know to get what you have for me. Can you agree with that?
Yeah.
Anybody want to, let's talk about it for a minute, or can you just agree with it? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. If you're looking at your little electronic thing, I don't know what you're thinking. Okay, look at me. Can you agree with what was just said?
Yeah.
It's going to be a prayer, and it's for you. Let's make it your prayer. You ready? Okay, I'm going to say the words and little phrases, and then you repeat after me if you mean it. Okay? I'm helping you to pray. You ready? Close your little peepers. Okay. I'm willing to see what you, God, want me to see. I'm willing to lay down what I think I know so I can get what you want to hand me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all right. You can open your little peepers. Now, if I took this and poured it into this, could I fill this with this? Oh, yes, I could. Yes, I could. But it would be diluted. Do you want diluted Jesus? Do you want watered down Jesus? Because there's a lot of places you can go and get watered down Jesus. Or do you want... Now, this is not Jesus, believe me. I'm not sure this has anything to do with Jesus. But let's just pretend. I know it's going to have to put on our little thinking caps. But let's just pretend this was Jesus, and this is the world. In order for us to get all of Jesus, we have to get empty of the world. Are you with me? God, I want to get empty of the world, their ways, their thinking. I want to get filled up with Jesus. I only want Jesus living in me. Thank you, Jesus. John 3:30, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. I want to give you a thought. You might want to write it down. You may not get it today, but you might want to write it down. And it goes like this. If it is about, quote, quote, what you think, you know, what I think, what I want, what I feel. If you hear yourself say, but I want, but I think, but I feel, then it's not about Jesus, it's about you. Is that what you want your life to be about? Because however old you are, you've tried to please yourself and it hasn't worked yet, has it? Even when your mommy gives you everything you want, you just become a spoiled little brat. I want more! My way! No share! Right? But when you forget about your life, Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. I'm a self-made man. I this, I that. And how happy are you? Because the people around you aren't. Because you stepped on them to get there. You used them. But he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. I know I keep giving my testimony, but I can't help it. That's what happened to me. When I met Jesus, I was a drug dealer, and I knew about God because I'd been in church most of my life, baptized 6 different times. But guess what? I was miserable. When I was selling drugs, I was making about $2,000 to $5,000 a week, had anything I wanted, went anywhere I wanted. If you were making $2,000 to $5,000 a week, would that be kind of cool? You know, you could spend that every week, week after week after week. But I was miserable. right before I met Jesus, I was sitting in my apartment, filled with people, doing my drugs, drinking my alcohol, listening to my 8-track Bad Company, okay? Still remember it. Sitting there on the couch, thinking, I feel like I'm the only person in the whole world. I am so lonely. All these people said they were my friends. They weren't my friends. They were people that liked to be around me because I had money or drugs. Do you understand? Or because I was the life of the party. You bad company. Right there. Right there. Prophetically true. Okay. That's right. How close to Jesus do you want to be? Here's you. How close to Jesus do you want to be? Real quick. Turn over to Matthew 13, verses 2 and 3. Matthew 13, 2. Come on, come on. Use your Bible. That's how you turn there. Matthew 13, verse 2. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Jesus, so that Jesus went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. These people wanted to hear God. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. You see that, Lisa? Jesus preached to the multitudes. Okay? Mark 6:44. Mark, it's the next book. 6:44. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 6, 44. You ready? And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Jesus is preaching to the multitude. It said that he then fed the 5,000. They were all hungry. Jesus took care of them. If you're just looking for Jesus to be your grocery man, He'll do that. That's all you want is for him to make sure you get fed. He'll do that. He'll take care of you. Psalm 37 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He will make sure you get fed. If all you want him to do is be a grocer. But see, I need him to be more than just my grocer. I need him more than just for food. I know it looks like that's what I use him for, but you know, they told me to get in shape, so rounds of shape, right? No. Okay. Anyway, my wife and I are going to work on that. Okay. Mark chapter 8, verse 9. So Jesus fed, he preached to the multitudes. He fed the 5,000. Now he's going to feed the 4,000. Notice the numbers are getting smaller. Because the closer you get to Jesus, whoa, this is a good truth. I didn't even think about this. You ready? The closer you get to Jesus, the less people will be there. You know what my wife said this morning? She looked around earlier, and she goes, we must be doing something right. We're losing people. We must be getting closer to Jesus. Have you ever heard it's lonely at the top? When you're going up a pyramid and you're going to get to the top and there's Jesus, it gets less and less room. And it's more and more requirements because you have to climb. It gets steeper, gets harder, less oxygen. You understand? How close to Jesus do you want to be? How much of Jesus do you want? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 15:6. So he preached to the multitudes. He fed the 5,000. Now these were people that came to Jesus. He preached to the multitudes. He'll preach to anybody. He'll share. He cares. He fed the 5,000. They had to stay. If you want to eat today with us, you have to stay. Do you understand? I mean, it's real simple. He'll feed. Then he fed the 4,000. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians, 15:6? After that, Jesus was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. At that time, when the scripture was written, there was a lot of the people that Jesus, after his resurrection, over 500 brothers, 500 fellow believers, saw Jesus at one time. He preached to the multitude. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. 500, over 500 saw him at one time. Turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Jesus was seen. Have you ever heard of some great preacher or something and you went to a meeting, but you couldn't get any closer than you could see him like way up there on the platform? You got to see him. It's not the same as getting to know him. Not the same as getting to spend time with him, go eat with him. How much of Jesus do you want? How close do you want to get to him? She's okay. He's okay. Whatever. She, that person that's this big. Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Are you there? And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, all the disciples that were left, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Not Iscariot, but the other Judas. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. He preached to the multitudes. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. They got to eat. Over 500 saw him at one time. Now there's 120. Jesus had said, go to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Only 120 showed up and stayed. Only 120 stayed. Do you see the group getting smaller? How close to Jesus do you want to be? These people were there when the power of God fell. And they were endued with power and turned the world upside down. They were close to Jesus. I think that would be a good place to be. Endued with power, change people's lives, speak, God flows through you. Wouldn't that be a good place? But there's more. Do you want more? Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Are you there? Okay, Genesis, Exodus, Luke. All right, you ready? After these things, when I first got in church, the reason I do that, when I first got in church, the preacher would say, turn to such and such. And by the time I got there, he was done preaching. And it was like, dude, I got to go back and memorize all these so I can get there right away, you know? Because I didn't like missing it. I wanted to hear everything he had to say. I used to sit right on the edge of my chair. I just want everything. I'm a hungry little bird for Jesus. I want more of it. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. 70. Jesus sent out 70 disciples by twos to minister. He preached to the multitudes. We were there. He fed the 5,000. He's fed you. He fed the 4,000. Over 500 saw him at one time. 120 gathered in the upper room waiting on God. 70 now sent out to minister, and he sent them out by twos. Look at Luke 6:13, please. Luke 6:13, we're in the same book. Luke 6:13. And when it was day, Jesus called unto himself his own disciples. Do you know what disciples are? Disciplined followers. Do you know what? Do you know how to be a disciplined follower? Can I just share just a couple thoughts real quick that will help you? Please don't miss this. A disciplined follower means they discipline themselves to follow Jesus. So whatever Jesus says to do, we discipline ourselves to do that. For example, Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Planted. How do you know if they're planted? They got roots. They bear fruit. They stay there. It's like you could tell something, well, not out that window, but if there was another window over here and you could see something green, and I don't mean a green car, I mean like a tree, you could tell if it's planted because every time you look out there, it's there. If it wasn't planted, if it was like one of those things, if you looked out the window and you saw it, it's not planted. It's going somewhere. It's moving. Planted means... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I feel better now. Okay. There wasn't anything, but it does do make y'all laugh. Okay. Okay. And so he preached to multitudes, fed the 5,000, fed the... Where are you in this? I'm trying to help you. Okay. But where are you today? Watch. Preach the multitudes. You're here. He fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. You're going to be here. See Jesus. Do you see Jesus today? Have you seen Jesus yet today? Okay, you're part of the 500. 120 waiting. Those of you that are with us, you're waiting. The 70 are being sent out. That's what we keep talking to you about doing. Whatever you get here, take it out to them. Because they need what you have. Don't wait. Don't think you're going to one day become a preacher. One day you're going to become a prophet. One day you're going to become a pastor. No. What are you got right now, give it away. And God will give you more. Don't try to hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Got it? Okay? Do I got to sing the whole song? Okay, so I got a request for a solo. Please sing solo. We can't hear it. Okay. So, are you ready? That's right. The only thing you keep is what you give away. That's the truth. The only thing you keep is what you give away, because if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Do you hear me? So 500 saw him at once, 70 were sent out. Now in this verse, Jesus handpicked 12 to be his apostles, to be his sent ones, his sent ones. He had a bunch to choose from, and he chose 12. Jesus has chosen you. Do you know John 15:16? He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. You didn't choose him. You didn't choose Burning Bush. He chose it for you. Because there's a lot of places that have more programs, more people, more whatever, okay, and less of this. You know what I mean? Really. But he chose this for you because this is what he wants for you. This is going to help you get where he wants you to go. This is going to make you content, satisfied, fulfilled, overflowing, bubbling. But when you get what he has for you here. You could go do all kinds of courses, go through 9 years of Bible college like I did, do all that stuff, and go out there and be cold, dead, and boring. Unfulfilled. You're going through the motions. You're trying as hard as you can. Sincere. And you're a flap. Or you could say, I don't know how to do this. And God's like, good, I got a feeling I do. Why don't you let me, like, run it? Let's just pretend I'm in charge. Let's pretend I'm God today, he says. You know? And then you let him lead your life one step at a time. You learn to build. How do you do that? You get planted. You get under authority. Authority's God's protection for you. There's so much. So, there's the 12. How close to Jesus do you want to be? Okay. Now, look at Luke 9:28. Preach to multitudes, fed 5,000, fed the 4,000, over 500 saw him at once, 120 gathered in the upper room, 70 sent out, 12 he handpicked to be his personal hang out with me apostles. 12. Wouldn't that have been cool to be one of the 12? Have you ever been reading the Bible and you thought, man, why couldn't I have been born 2,000 years ago? Why couldn't I have hung out with Jesus? Oh, man, that would have been nice to walk around and watch him raise the dead and heal the sick and speak to the Pharisees and preach. And I mean, it would have just been awesome watching him, like, do all these things. Just hanging out with Jesus. I could touch him every day, hanging out with him. You ever thought that? Right? Now watch this. That would be good to be part of the 12. Here's the 12. I think that's pretty good. Playing darts. You get it here, that's pretty good. I remember when Dudley went to take me, we were going to bow hunt. Went in my backyard, Dudley marked it off, said this is 20 yards, put the target over there, which was a deer, you know, this sweet spot where you're supposed to hit the deer with an arrow. It was pretty good if I could hit the target. But Dudley didn't give me an attaboy until I got the center. Then he gave me an attaboy. Hey, attaboy. You know, you did good. Now watch. And it came to pass. Are you in Luke 9:28? The next passage we're going to, by the way, is Mark 14:32. But anyway, Luke 9:28. Don't go there yet, but Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took Peter and John and James. Okay, now watch. In order to be part of this group, you had to be part of this group. In order to be part of this group, you had to be part of this group. In order to be part of this group, you had to be part of this group. In order to be part of this group, you had to be part of this group. So now we got the 12, and Jesus took the 3. See? He took 3 out of the 12. God's got a call in your life. Don't miss this. I'm speaking to somebody in here. I think there's 3 somebodies I'm speaking to in here. Maybe 4. You ready? God's got you at Burning Bush. And you know God's call in your life. But you will not get here until you're part of this group. And you will not get here until you're part of this group. And you won't get here until you're part of this group. And you won't get here until you're part of this group. You follow what I'm saying? It's one step at a time. And it starts with getting planted. It starts with being here. It starts with, what's the next step, Pastor? What's next? And I go, hey, let's just talk a little bit. We'll find out. Oh, you got baptized, but you didn't get baptized according to the Bible. Here, let me show you why. Because here's how you get baptized. Here's when you get baptized. Here's where you get baptized. Here's who baptized you. Here's who gets baptized. Here's when you get baptized. Oh, well, that doesn't fit my life. But I did what a church told me. Well, if you want to be a follower of a church, that's fine. But if you want to be a follower of God who puts you in the house of God, then you got to do what the Word of God says. So is your life based on the Word of God, or is it based on what some preacher said on TV, or what some other preacher said, or what your parents said, or what your grandpa said? Or is it based on the Word of God? And then if it's based on the Word of God, where is it? Well, it's in there somewhere. Did that help anybody? Because it was in there somewhere? One truth. You get one truth today. You got a verse on that thing. And that truth gets rooted in you. And guess what? It's a truth from God. It's going to bring forth God fruit. God's seed. Here's the truth. God's seed brings forth God fruit. Isn't that simple? God's seed. The sower went forth to sow. God's seed brings forth God fruit. Now just think of it. You're going to get to be fruity. Okay. You're already fruity. Might as well get God fruity, you know. You could be pebbles fruity, you know, but I'd rather be God fruity. Okay, Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took of the 12, Jesus took three. He said, yeah, all of you are here, but only you came forward and only you came forward and only you said you wanted more of God. So you three, I'm going to take you a little further. Do you get what I'm saying? And don't worry. It's okay if you're hungry wherever you are and you're like, you're here. You're in here. See, the ones that are outside of here, they're on their way to hell because they're not part of Jesus. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? This, you're part of Jesus. Now, how close do you want to get to Him? If you're part of Him, you're listening, you're hearing, you're growing, you're seeking to follow, even if it's intermittent, hit and miss. It's okay. That's where you're at. God will grow you from there. If somebody's judging you, that's their heart problem. Folks, if something God has been doing in me, I used to be so judgmental and harsh and demanding. Ask Janiyah. She's had to have a lot of inner healing about that. Growing up in that. Because I was legalistic. Man, I read this Bible and memorized it. And man, bless God, pow, black and white, and we're going to do it this way. And if you step outside, you're going to get your toes stepped on because I'm going to crunch right to the line. And then I would judge others because, see, that's what I did to myself because of how far away I was from God when He found me. And I saw where He was and where I was, and I wanted to get to Him, so I tried to follow His rules, but I made them rules, and I became harsh, judgmental. And what I find myself nowadays, because I kept telling Him, because He kept dealing with me about being judgmental, and I'm like, God, I find myself judging people. I don't want to judge them. But I kept judging them. And He said, you know what? We're going to work that out of you. And I find people doing stuff wrong, and my heart's broken. I don't find myself judging them. I hear them saying and doing stuff wrong. I don't feel like I have to correct them. I mean, God has done a big work in me. I haven't arrived, but man, He's changed me so much. If you find yourself judging, you find yourself critical of others, tell God. God, are you listening to me? Pay attention on purpose. This will help you. God, I'm teaching you how to confess sin. God, this is true in my life. I'm judging somebody. I'm critical. God, I don't want to be. It's wrong. Please forgive me, and I'm inviting you to change it in me. Grant me repentance. Is that easy? You see, the other way is religious. You beating yourself up trying to make yourself change. You can do acts of kindness or acts of humility, but it's an act. You still find yourself judging them in your heart. Follow me? God, would you change my heart? He said, I'd be glad to. I'm the only one who can. He said, all you got to do is invite me. He said, my name is Savior. My name is Deliverer. My name is Freedom. I'll set you free from that stinking spirit. That's right. Okay. Luke 9:28. Who keeps interrupting me? Okay. And it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion, this is you. You get to see Jesus this way. You get to experience Jesus this way. Watch. His fashion, his form, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Had an epiphany, had a vision, who appeared in glory and spake of Jesus' decease, which Jesus should accomplish at Jerusalem. Only three went up with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. Also, look in Mark 14, verse 32. Mark 14, verse 32. These same three, they went a little further with Jesus in Gethsemane. When Jesus was going to be crucified, do you hear me? Okay. When Jesus was going to be crucified, he had 12, and he took the 12 with him to the garden, and he said, you guys hang out right here. He said, hey, you three, the three that wanted more, he said, you come with me. And they went a little further with Jesus. And then he bare his heart to him and said, I am like getting ready to die. I feel like I'm going to die. Would you just pray with me? He shared his heart with them. Do you want Jesus to share his heart with you? And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And Jesus saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I pray, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John. And began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. I mean, he was overwhelmed with what was getting ready to happen in his life. And he said, watch with me. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Three went further with Jesus. Now look in John 13, and we're going to look at verses 23 to 25. We're almost done. We started out here. We're ending up here. How close to Jesus, where are you right now? Do you want to stay there? That's where you're at, but is that where you want to stay? You want to get closer? Are you in John 13, in verse 23? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Do you get this picture? Brother Glenn? No. Brother Larry? Can you see him? Can you see him? Can you see him, Grace? Can you see him? See him? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. I'm doing it. Look, y'all never forget the picture, will you? And he'll be for a long time trying to get over this, you know, therapy and whatever. Cleansing. Healing the blood of Jesus over you, brother. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. It wasn't like my daughter Janiah, where eight kids try to crawl up in her lap at once. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciplined followers. It says, whom Jesus loved. Did he love the other ones? Did he love the other ones? But in the scripture, it doesn't say that. He did. The scripture teaches that he did. But the scripture doesn't say that. You know why? I'll give you that in just a second. Whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, another disciple sitting over here, like next to Jesus, beckoned to the one sitting on Jesus' lap. Hey, John, John. It was called, his name was John, by the way, the one that sat on Jesus' lap. Simon Peter beckoned to John that John should ask who it should be of whom Jesus spake. John then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Can I show you something here, ministers? You're going to have people say to you, you've already had this happen. I want to help you understand why it happened. You see, you're a little closer to Jesus than that person you're ministering to. And so what they say is, would you pray for me? I don't know how to get to him from where I am. Would you pray for me? Would you get me there? Peter said that to John. Hey, would you ask him? Why didn't Peter ask him? He was sitting right next to him. Because John was a little closer. I'm honored every time somebody asks me to pray for him. I'm honored because it means that they must have seen Jesus in me. And they feel like I can get them to Jesus. I used to be out here and here and here and here and here and here. And I can remember when I was like here. And we'd go places and I'd see a preacher and I'd say to my wife, I want to go talk to him. I could talk to all of the people, other people there, but I want to get to that preacher. I want to sit down and talk with him. I want him to talk with me. I want him to pray for me. I want him to lay hands on me. I want that preacher. Not this Bible, but another Bible. I don't know if I loaned it to somebody here. I can't remember what I did with it, but it's a Thompson chain. It's brown, I think. Yeah, it is. I loaned it to somebody, but I don't remember who. And in the front of it, it has a bunch of preachers' names signed. Preachers that you would know the names of that I've seen around the country. And I would ask them to sign my Bible because it meant something to me. Because I wanted to get closer to Jesus. Do you understand? Do you want to get closer to Jesus? Do you want to get closer to Jesus? Invite him. Whatever inside of you, if I was to ask you the question, ask yourself this question. Ask God to ask you this question. What does God, what is it, if you had to guess, you know that God wants you to do? What does God want you to do? Maybe it's reading. Maybe it's being here faithfully. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's forgiving. I don't know what it is. Because for every one of you, it's different. Everybody's going to end up coming to the same place as we get closer to Jesus. Because he's going to deal with all of us on those things. But he deals with all of us at different things. Your mouth? Thank you. Okay. I was afraid I was going to get a big, okay, get lost. All right, so the thought, you ready? What is it Jesus has for you next? Because he's like this. Come. Come. By the way, I want you to get that song that they did with that blind kid or whatever, you know, about the altar. It's a different. Yeah, from Wally's thing. That altar is what the altar is for. Yeah. God is calling you. He wants you. He loves you. Do you understand? He loved the people out here. You know why it said whom Jesus loved? Do you know why it said that? Okay, watch. I love Larry. Is Larry feeling my embrace right now? I can fix that. Okay. You know, a church of people. Look who you're following, and then look. Okay. Anyway, Anyway, the nuts don't fall too far from the tree. Okay. So, what are you attracted to? Why? Okay. Now. Okay. What I'm saying is, Chenaya could love both Hudson and Remy. But one of them is closer than the other right now. And the one, when she gets him, and he's holding, he's receiving that love, and it's obvious that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved these others, but they didn't get as close. So they didn't get to experience as much of his presence and love. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I just said? See, I need him desperately. That's why I lay down. Because when I lay down, it's like being on a couch or a bed with him. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm just, good night. No, that's awesome. And he's just like petting me. You know, holding me, loving me. Don't worry, I can come back here. Okay. Sit on his lap. Hug him.
No.
You see what I'm saying? How much of Jesus do you want? Okay, so let's do this. Let's close our eyes for a second. Hey. Let's close our papers. Jesus, I want you. And Lord, I don't want to hold back from you. I want more of you, and I want to go where you want me to go. Sometimes when I see Pastor Harvey or hear him, I'm kind of scared. But Lord, I don't have to be him, thank you. I can be who you made me to be. And you'll take me, you'll walk me into it as I make the choice to cooperate. So Lord, I choose, I want more. I want you to go color a little bit outside my lines. I want you to bring me closer. I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to hear your voice. I want to get up close where I could touch you and you touch me. I'd love to feel your embrace. I want to be more like you, Jesus. What do you have for me now? Because I want to enter into that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Nate, why don't you come and play some music, whatever. I just want you to, God saying, come. If you want to come, come. If you just want to sit there in your chair, you can just sit there in your chair. But I'm just inviting you, come. Come to Jesus.